Blog Talk Radio.
Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what, I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been." "Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." Up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow, and he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss, and then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Ready to dog fight, no child, no." Bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best as ever been." He played, "Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, I'm picking out dough. Granny, will you don't fight, no child, no."
Junior, the Wolfman, coming at you tonight on Rocky and the Wolfman Radio. My co-host, Raquel, she's still off for the night as she continues to handle some personal issues in the real world. We are thinking of and praying for you, Rocky. So, once again, I'm live and all alone with you fine patriots. We will discuss current happenings in the week in review as per normal, but this week we're going to do something a little different. Because this week has been a little crazy politically. So we're going to kind of keep it open as a free-for-all, and I'll guide it through the process. As normal, we'll be joined by our regular contributor, Gary Binford, at the bottom of the hour. And if you want to call and ask questions or chat it up, engage in the conversation, our number never changes. Just dial the call-in number, 646-787-8638, and press 1 so you can talk to yours truly, the Wolfman. Again, 646-787-8638. So, without further ado, the week in review. So, a quick update on a election 2020. No new dropouts. We still have our original list of 8 original dropouts. However, there are 3 candidates that are on the precipice of getting knocked out of contention. First, we have a stunning admission from Senator Cory Booker, Democrat, New Jersey, that if he is unable to raise $1.7 million by the end of the fourth fiscal quarter, which ends on 30 September, he will have no choice but to drop out. This is from the Daily Caller. Democratic presidential candidate Cory Booker's campaign published a memo Saturday asking readers to help raise $1.7 million in the next 10 days to help keep him in the race. There are still 20 candidates in the running for the Democratic nomination, and Booker ranks in the 7th spot as the candidate registered voters would most like to see as the nominee, according to Fox News' latest poll from 15 to 17 September. Booker's campaign manager, however, explained in a Medium post that the candidate might not be in the race much longer if donors can't cough up $1.7 million by 11:59 p.m. on September 30th. Next, it looks like Julian Castro is in trouble, too. He told reporters that he will consider dropping out of the presidential race if he fails to qualify for November's debates. However, Castro sees a silver lining. This week's main event, the Trump Ukraine phone call / Joe Biden Ukraine blackmail / Trump impeachment fiasco. It's the best way to describe what's been going on this week. Castro's take is that if this event actually wounds President Trump, Biden loses his strongest asset, that he is the most electable person against President Trump. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle. Castro's theory, if voters believe Trump is wounded, former Vice President Joe Biden will lose one of the strongest arguments the Democratic primary voters have. He is the most electable candidate in the field. Castro believes that Trump is wounded. And if he is, that situation would put all Democrats in a better position to take him on. It's a theory, and it does make sense, but he is vastly misreading the current situation. That leads us to our third candidate with problems, Joe Biden. Joe Biden is in serious trouble, and the deep state tries to counterattack to protect him. This week, we have a new Democrat false premise to deal with. President Trump had a phone conversation with Ukrainian President Zelensky quite a few weeks ago. This is a description from the American Thinker. Even though the details are classified, deep state intelligence community operatives are leaking enough that we can assess with a reasonable degree of confidence that the latest scandal being peddled by Adam Schiff, amongst others, is as phony as the Russian conspiracy theory he pushed until the Mueller-Weissman report turned out to be a dry hole. The favorite outlet for deep staters, the Washington Post, revealed that it's all about the Ukraine. This is what the Washington Post posted. A whistleblower complaint from President Trump made by an intelligence official centers on Ukraine, according to 2 people familiar with the matter, which has set off a struggle between Congress and the executive branch. The complaint involves communications with a foreign leader and a promise, in quotes, a promise that Trump made, which was so alarming that the U.S. intelligence official who had worked at the White House went to the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community, 2 former U.S. officials said. 2.5 weeks before the complaint was filed, Trump spoke with Ukrainian President Zelensky, a comedian and political newcomer who was elected in a landslide in May. And that's the end of the Washington Post quote. Here's the problem. The President of the United States has every right to talk to foreign heads of state and ask them basically anything he wants. With regard to Ukraine, the United States and the Ukraine have an international treaty agreement which mandates that the two countries cooperate with each other in investigative matters, especially criminal and corruption matters. That treaty was approved by the 106th Congress, of which Joe Biden was a senator and a signatory. And that was ratified, that ratified treaty was signed by none other than Bill Clinton when he was president. It really does seem that the Clintons are involved in every criminal case that Trump brings to light. So what's going on? Despite her absence, I did have a conversation with Rocky about this because she asked me what she thought my analysis of the situation is. So let's start with the whistleblower. The whistleblower is technically not a whistleblower because he does not have firsthand knowledge of the situation. CNN reported that this person received his information via hearsay from someone else who may have been in the room when the president had his conversation. That means that this guy is not going to be considered an official whistleblower, and he will not enjoy the protections that a whistleblower will get. So we have a name for that. This guy is just a leaker. That's what he is. And being in the intelligence community makes it a little more serious, we'll say. It'll be a little more serious situation because since he doesn't have whistleblower protection and he's leaking classified information, that makes it a crime. And he puts his entire career in jeopardy. And then the Democrats decided they need to bring this guy to the Senate, to the House, so that they can ask him questions. And now the Democrats have put this guy in a really tough situation. We still haven't had, as far as I can tell, we haven't had any revelation as to who he is. The assistant DNI knows for the CIA. He knows who it is. And he performed in form, or he, yeah, he performed, let's say, in front of the House to make clear what this person was trying to say. But this guy's in legal jeopardy. So let me explain about how these communiques between the president and other heads of state tend to work. The conversation is classified. Notes are taken, and it's classified typically as secret just because of the high-level communications. And so you have your note takers. They plot, they jot this thing down into a memorandum, and it gets classified at the secret level and placed onto a secret server. The whistleblower slash leaker basically indicated that the lawyers, the president's lawyers, indicated that this memo needed to be moved to a more sensitive classified system, which we call JWICS, basically the top secret stuff. There's nothing legal. There's nothing illegal with that. That's fine. You can do that. The president is the country's original classification authority. He classifies all items. And if he says that this item needs to be classified top secret, it's classified top secret, as long as it's not hiding any crimes. Talking to the Ukrainian president is not a crime. Asking the Ukrainian president to look into possible criminality that occurred during the 2016 election, since he is investigating the potential for foreigner-based election meddling, this seems to fall in line with that. Democrats have turned it into something else. Democrats are alleging that the president is trying to use foreign influence, which is the whole theme of what they've been saying for the last 3 years, to get dirt on a political opponent, of which Joe Biden is not. Joe Biden is not a political opponent. He is merely running for the presidency. He has not been nominated, and he won't get nominated. And this event is going to guarantee he doesn't get nominated because he has a lot riding on this Ukrainian investigation. And they believe, the Democrats believe, that the target is Biden and that the president's trying to take him out, thereby helping him win an election in 2020. Well, it looks like Democrats have no confidence in anyone else who's running, apparently, and no wonder, really, since they've all gone off the left cliff with a fervor. And so the Democrats have some really big problems here. So this is why the deep state came out to try and protect Joe Biden. But Joe Biden's done. Joe Biden does not have a chance to get out from under this. The timeline shows that his son, Hunter, was moved onto the board of this company, this fuel company in the Ukraine, in early 2014. And Biden, in 2016, threatened the former president of Ukraine withholding $1 billion of aid that they desperately needed to fend off the Russians if they didn't fire the chief prosecutor, the prosecutor general of the Ukraine, who was actually investigating the company and there, by extension, investigating his son for tax problems and other criminality. And they fired him. They fired him. And $2 billion, our money. Joe Biden blackmailed another country with our money to protect his son. That sounds like criminality to me. Certainly an abuse of power. That's not the way American diplomatic power is supposed to be used. And now we have more stories indicating that the Ukrainians were recruited to assist in getting Hillary Clinton elected by bringing up dirt or trying to fabricate dirt on President Trump. So there are numerous crimes here, none of them committed by the president. And this is going to be a big problem. Hunter has long been a fear for the Democrats because of all the stuff that he's been involved in. And Joe Biden is going to suffer for that, for those actions. So let's see. I've posted on my own page on Facebook called By the People. You can look it up on Facebook, and you'll know you have found it when you see Abraham Lincoln wearing aviator glasses and a MAGA hat. And on here, I keep track of these events to make it easier for me to kind of find them again. Joe Biden was asked about his son and whether or not he and his son had discussed his overseas business dealings. And Joe Biden said plainly this week, "I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings." However, his son contradicts him. His own son indicated that he and his father have spoken often about his overseas ventures. So it sounds like Hunter was using his father's office to enrich himself, and that's a crime. So we're going to get to the bottom of that as well. It also looks like, since the Ukraine was recruited to attack Trump, that could have only come from one source. That source is Obama. And that's going to be looked at fairly certain and very soon. So from an article from Breitbart, Hunter Biden and Joe Biden contradict each other on the Ukraine. The former vice president told reporters during a campaign appearance in Iowa on Saturday that he denied ever having discussed his son's position on the board of directors of Burisma Holdings, a Ukrainian oil and natural gas company. "I have never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings," Joe Biden angrily told reporters before accusing President Trump of abusing his own power by urging the Ukrainian government to investigate the matter. So the Democrats are basically accusing President Trump of doing what the Democrats actually did. The former vice president's claim, however, is contradicted by his own son, Hunter Biden's own words on the topic. The younger Biden admitted during a series of candid interviews for a New Yorker profile published in June that he, in fact, had discussed his foreign business interests with his father on at least one occasion. Quote, Dad said, "I hope you know what you're doing." And I said, "I do," Hunter Biden told the magazine. So we already have that part of this defense falling apart on the Democrat side. Then we have a video in 2018 where Biden admits that he blackmailed the Ukrainians to fire their secretary, not secretary general, but their prosecutor general, or they would not receive the $1 billion. And this was done in front of the Council on Foreign Relations. And if you need to watch the video, it's on posted on my By the People page, and it's very nonchalant. They don't really see this as a bad thing. He, of course, doesn't mention that his son was going to be the one that was under investigation throughout that entire conversation. And he played it off like, you know, this is a thing that I did. So Ukraine was my baby given to me by Obama to handle, and I was able to strong-arm them. So that video has been making its rounds on the interwebs. Then the next thing we have is the president surprises everyone by declassifying the conversation completely and releasing it to the public on Wednesday. This is a masterstroke because, one, we get to see what the conversation was about, and if you read the conversation, you'll see that there is no quid pro quo. The president didn't threaten to withhold anything like Biden did. He was asking about this investigation that the Ukrainians already want to take up against Joe Biden and this fuel company. And they are mandated to help each other. If we have information that they need, we're supposed to give it to them, and vice versa. The Ukrainians came out and said that there was nothing improper in the conversation between Trump and their new president. It was exactly what is supposed to happen. So the Ukrainians threw Biden under the bus, and that's what you get when you try and blackmail a whole country for $1 billion. All you gotta do is wait for the right time to seek revenge. Let's see what else we got here. So with the release of the memo that of the president's conversation, the whistleblower becomes basically useless, because the whistleblower's complaint will state something that was said on this conversation. The president has released the entire conversation. What do we need the whistleblower for? It's a brilliant move. Don't worry about it, though. Democrats are still going to use it. They're still going to use this whistleblower as a weapon to try and beat upon the president. But what's going to end up happening is they're going to end up kneecapping Joe Biden. He's going to be forced out of this race. I don't see a way that he gets out from under this. So, we have a poll here. After all this stuff came out, obviously people took to polling, and what we found out is that the American public is not very, they're not jiving with the idea of impeachment, of which they're using this instance to really put the hammer onto President Trump. So in a question asked by one of the leading pollsters on Message Inc., do you think that the House of Representatives should start impeachment proceedings against President Donald Trump? The yeses are 28%. The noes are 66%, with 6 don't knows or refuse to answer. And what's interesting about this particular poll is they asked people in specific swing states, the states of Arizona, Florida, Iowa, Maine, and Pennsylvania. And every single one of them, the yeses are in the 20s and the noes are in the upper 60s, a 2-to-1 ratio against impeachment. Independents come in at 68% no and 22% yes. And people who wouldn't even consider Trump are 90% no and 5% yes. On top of that, it looks like President Trump's numbers have started to climb up, and his donations are starting to increase. He's up reportedly at 53% favorability, and he has managed to pull in another $10 million or so in donations for his campaign. He's got so much more money this time around than he did last time. What was interesting is President Trump, we went to California. California is a deep blue stronghold. And in his visit in California, he managed to pull in more money in one day than Kamala Harris did in the last 3 months. And she is a senator, junior senator, to the state of California. That says something. It also is telling that the president is still pulling in record crowds with standing room only of all kinds of people. Hispanics are favorable, 62%. Reportedly, blacks are favorable, 40%. When the Republicans go into an election, they're happy when they have 4% black support. And this president has 40%, 10 times that number. So it's not looking good for the Democrats at all. So Kimberly Strassel, who's a pretty good investigative reporter, sent out a number of tweets to kind of put everything into perspective. I'm going to read them as we go into the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our break at 8:28. So I'm going to read these out here, and it kind of puts into light exactly what's going on. So from Kimberly Strassel at Tim Strassel on Twitter, the call of the transcript of the call itself, Trump's actual favor that the Democrats claim that he had asked for, is that the Ukraine look backwards to what happened in the 2016 election. This is a legitimate ask, since election meddling looks to have come from both Russia and the Ukraine. Indeed, this is big enough an issue that we find out this morning that the U.S. Attorney John Durham is already looking at what role the Ukraine played in the FBI investigation. So this thing has been investigated well before this phone call ever happened. We are already looking at the Ukraine. It's actually Zelensky, President Zelensky of the Ukraine, who brings up Rudy Giuliani, saying that they can't wait to meet him. And it is Zelensky who references the investigation as he goes on to promise that all investigations will be done openly and candidly as per their agreement. Trump says good and expresses worries that a good prosecutor was shut down, mentions Biden's son and that Biden bragged that he stopped the prosecution. And he ends that statement with, "It sounds horrible to me." Trump's several references to Giuliani are mostly to say what a great guy he is. He says he'll have Giuliani and AG Barr call and asks Zelensky to speak and work with both of them. And don't worry about Bill Barr or his need to be to recuse himself, because he never actually engaged. Barr never engaged with the Ukraine. Says here, DOJ statement says the president has not spoken to the AG about investigating Biden and has not asked the AG to contact the Ukraine. Also, Barr has not communicated with the Ukraine on this or any subject. And the final three bits. Meanwhile, the IG back in August referred this to the DOJ as potential violations of campaign finance law based on whistleblowers' complaint. The criminal division evaluated and determined that there was no violation. All relevant components of the department agreed with this legal conclusion. So, whistleblower, look at this nugget. Referenced in the Office of Legal Counsel opinion, the IG's review found, quote, some indicia of an arguable political bias on the part of the complainant in favor of a rival political candidate. In other words, they're trying to tip the scales again towards the Democrats. These are deep staters. These are people on the inside who are trying to take out this president. The media has got this so wrong. And Democrats look all the more partisan and radical to have moved beyond or towards impeachment. So I'm going to let you guys chew on that for a little bit as we get ready to go into our break at the bottom of the hour. And I will see you guys on the flip side, not at 8:30.
Mama pajama rolled out of bed and she ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout and he started the investigation. It's against the law. It was against the law. Or what the mama saw, it was against the law. The mama looks down and spit on the ground every time her name gets mentioned. Papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, ain't the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. Thank you.
press, let the story leak. Now when the radical preach come to get me released, we's all on the cover of Newsweek. And I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going, I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
The Wolfman, and I am your host, the Wolfman, flying solo tonight as Raquel has taken the night off, and she should be back next week. So if you want to join our conversation, I'm kind of rambling about what's going on with this impeachment / Ukraine president phone call / fiasco that's going on. And if you want to join, the number is 646-787-8638. Press 1 to join your host and you'll be queued in. Again, that number is 646-787-8638. And I am joined by my man, Gary Binford. Gary, are you online right now?
Woot, 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 woot. Can you hear me, Wolfman?
I can hear you.
Oh, that's
so
great. It's a pleasure
rant.
To talk to you. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I was just busting at the gut to get on here. You know, it's just been such a week. You did such a great job of breaking everything down that, A, the whistleblower is not a whistleblower because you need to have direct information, direct access to what was heard. Also, the time frame and everything. Also, that President Trump has the right to speak to another president of another country. He also has the right to find out if there's some corruption going on between your country, my country, and this. And then there was the treaty that Bill Clinton signed that put into place how and what you can and can't say to another president of another country when you're dealing with corruption. So you also have that in place. So all of this is going on. But before we started, I wanted to run something by you. I have what I think is the new perfect theme song, you know, nothing, you know, the Rolling Stones notwithstanding, but I have the new, in my opinion, perfect theme song for President Trump. And I just want to play you a couple bars of it and see what you think before I send it to him, okay?
All right.
Here it is. Did you hear it?
I did. I love Get Smart. It was a great show.
Hey, it's Get Trump. And, you know, just like Chaos could never get Maxwell Smart, Agent 86. They could never get him. And it was a comedic parody of secret agents. And each week they'd have him right on the precipice of falling. They'd say, we got him now. We got him now. They'd either have him in chains or in oil or in some, you know, they'd have him in every situation that you could possibly think of, and they could never bring him down. And the chaos that they tried to create ended up being chaos for themselves. And that's what's going on here. The obstructionist Democratic Party just keeps they're just trying every conceivable thing possible to try and bring down President Trump. And none of it's working, and this isn't going to work either because it's bogus, just like the Russia collusion thing. And if they really thought it was real, they would have waited till all the facts were out and then say, you see. So I find this, you know, that, and then he could also have a big mural of Wile E. Coyote in the Roadrunner. Because
it's
here
really
we go again.
Bad.
Acme, you know, Riley would always be Acme. He'd always be, and no matter what he tried, while E. Coyote, he would always get blown up by his own stuff. And that's what they're doing. You know, so they put this out, so they start this impeachment inquiry, bam, right off the bat, $13 million raised. I mean, they're the gift that keeps on giving. So, you know, let them keep doing what they're doing because they're just digging a hole so deep in themselves they won't be able to climb out. And, you know, just like you said, Biden's gone. He's toast. Forget him.
Yeah.
You realize by the time they get to their DNC convention, they may not have a candidate?
I disagree, obviously. And what's scary is it's been looking like it's going to end up being Warren. And it's that's not going to be pretty. It's almost a default position because Bernie's done too. Warren has automatically has already overrun him, taken his positions as her own, and she's, you know, she's technically younger than he is. He looks like a mad scientist. He's going to be like in his 80s by the time he gets through a presidency. So he's been set to the side. Warren's been making a move coming up. I think you're going to find, and this is just my opinion, my guesstimate, that you're going to have just about everybody obviously dropping out after the first couple primaries. Buttigieg will probably stick around. I think Gabbard will stick around because even though she's wrong in her opinions, she comes across as reasonable. And her military background helps. She speaks well. She makes great points, as proven against Kamala Harris. Harris is gone. Bernie's going to be gone. Joe Biden's going to be gone. Booker's about ready to drop out here in a bit here. All the big names, the so-called big names, will be gone. And you're going to end up with a more moderate, you know, I guess Buttigieg counts as a moderate. Certainly Gabbard does. And then the big title will be Warren. And it'll be like another, you know, Trump versus Clinton 2.0 going into 2020. And it's going to be ugly. I assume Warren doesn't have nearly the baggage that Clinton has, but Trump's been running her rails for quite some time now with the Pocahontas stuff, Pocahontas, and it won't stop there. But he got her
Wolfman,
to admit that she's not an Indian.
Wolfman, that's the least of her problems. See, and when I said they don't have a candidate, they won't have a candidate left. I didn't mean, you know, that they literally won't have a candidate because they'll throw somebody up there. The point is they won't have a candidate that the American public would be able to take seriously. And Pocahontas is going to be the least of Elizabeth Warren's problems. Good luck trying to run against Donald Trump, who's coming America first, restoring our Constitution and our Judeo-Christian values, bringing businesses home, you know, the economy, black and Hispanic unemployment, all-time low, restoring Christian, trying to restore Christian freedoms around the world, as for, also in this nation. Also, you know, with the economy and everybody, the working, the unemployment rate, everything's going, 401k's going up, economy going up. Good luck with a full-blown socialist running against that. She'll have on a uniform, and she'll have a cape. But it's not the Superman cape. S for Superman. It's the S for socialists. And this is probably their worst nightmare, because she would have had a better chance 4 years ago, but she's going to run against a rising economy. She's going to run against she's going to try and throw out the Green Puke deal. Excuse me, there I go again. The Green New Deal. She's going to try and throw out open borders, amnesty for all, free education, free this, free that. She's going to try and run on a socialist agenda at a time in which America is not in a recession. She would get blown out of the water. And I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you think they will cap her at the knees the way they capped Bernie? And that's the funny thing. Yeah, how dare Hillary Clinton, and we can get to Shifty Shift in a second, how dare Hillary Clinton come up here and say that Donald Trump is corrupt when she was the orchestrator of Uranium One? She was involved in the Benghazi cover-up. She's been involved in this, that, and the other thing. We could list the whole litany of things that Hillary Clinton was involved on that involve corruption, and she's actually going to say that Donald Trump is corrupt? You've got to be kidding me. See, and so she gets back in this race. You know, we have all this to throw against her. And the big corruption was the DNC making sure that Bernie didn't win. They cheated, and she was involved in that. So and she's talking about corruption. So they didn't want a socialist running 4 years ago. You know, what is it? 3 years ago, what is it going to be like now with a full-blown socialist who probably, to me, borders on communists? Why can they actually afford to put her up as their candidate?
Well, let's answer those questions then. Will they blow her away the way they did Bernie Sanders? Not if she's the only viable option. So that whole thing about Bernie saying, hey, this system is rigged. If you recall, Trump and Bernie Sanders were saying the system is rigged. They were talking in different terms. Bernie was talking from the inside. He already knew how the DNC worked.
Right.
Okay. And I'm gonna tell you a real quick story about how I started to understand American politics, because I understand why Americans don't understand our electoral politics. It has to do with the election of George W. Bush in 2000 and the hanging chads ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
So after the end of election night, setting aside the hanging chads issue, George Bush had the electoral votes, but he did not have the so-called popular vote. Okay, and Gore had the popular vote. I was 30. And by my standards today, that was super young. And we, a bunch of Intel analysts in Fort Bragg, the day after, we didn't understand how Bush had won the election when Al Gore had the larger votes, the popular votes. One of my analysts, a man named Chris Shively, he's from Ohio. He actually interned with a politician. I don't know if it was federal or state, but he interned. He's a poli-sci guy, really smart. He's a Democrat. We used to make fun of him all the time. Really smart dude. That day happened, and we came into work, and we looked at him, and we said, all right, we're going to cancel our morning activities, and you're going to tell us what the hell just happened. And he looked at him like, are you serious? Like, yeah, we don't understand. How did this happen? And he explained about super delegates, and he explained about.
Well, can I ask
about
one question before you go on? Was your group, did your group understand that it's not the popular vote that determines the president, it's the Electoral College?
No. Clearly, we did not understand that.
Ah, okay.
And we're analysts, and we're in the Army, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, we have a lot of things that we have to be concerned with, but when that happened, this has only happened now 5 times ever in our history, where the president did not win both the popular vote and the electoral vote. So he gave us a clock that lasted several hours, actually, and we were taking notes because we clearly didn't know enough about our own country. And from that point forward, I was paying attention. Now I make the argument with people that there's no such thing as a popular vote. Oh, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. She won nothing.
Right. That doesn't count.
And not only does it not count, it doesn't exist. It's not a thing that people count it. It's kind of like baseball stats. You know, when you have all these bean counters who are tracking all these baseball players, and they're keeping track of whip numbers, and they're keeping track of, you know, at-bats. At-bats is meaningless in winning a baseball game. It contributes, certainly, but no one's going to care that somebody got 6 at-bats when somebody else got 4 at-bats in a game. They only care about what the score was.
Absolutely.
That's the part that matters. So here we go now into the 2020 election. The DNC has not changed their superdelegate rule, as far as I can tell. I believe they said they were going to do some altering after the fiasco with Bernie and Clinton, but as far as I can tell, they have not altered anything. So you still have your superdelegates, and the superdelegates were designed on the Democrat side. I thought it was a universal thing. It's not. It's just Democrats who use superdelegates.
There you go.
Superdelegates is a way for the Democrats to control who they want to be the nominee.
Bingo.
It only feigns mm-hmm. allowing the people to choose their candidate. It only feigns it. And when it became clear that the Democrats' voters wanted Bernie Sanders and not Hillary Clinton, they had to step in and use the superdelegates to whisk that away from him. But there is no – that's based on the who's next mentality that the Democrats have. And the who's next is Joe Biden. And he's going to be forced out because of this Ukrainian issue. So who does that leave? I don't think the DNC is going to do it to her. I think, one, that it's too soon, and people have not forgotten how Bernie Sanders was wronged. So doing it at back-to-back elections, I think, would really, really set the Democrats on fire more than they already are. They are a house on fire right now. They don't know how to put it out. And that fire is President Trump. And they don't have an extinguishing system that works. He's all over them. So
you do understand something. You do understand something. This is so rich. I mean, you do understand. If she gets the nomination, the biggest voice in the country automatically will write, bam, as soon as she gets the nomination, all of a sudden, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez will have a megaphone. And I'm telling you, between her and Warren, they won't drive the Democratic Party over a cliff. They'll fly them over a cliff. I don't care because, see, I just want them out of here. They're against the Constitution. That's another thing. Wolfman, it's just so sad that the disingenuous mainstream media, and we got to get them under control, it's just so sad they won't report the truth. I actually watched Nancy Pelosi yesterday in this press conference talking about we have to impeach Donald Trump because he is trying to destroy our Constitution. Here you have these Marxist-fueled Democrats trying to bring in socialism openly, which goes against our Constitution because it takes away our freedoms and our liberties. And they're going to say that Donald Trump is trying to – they're the ones trying to overthrow the Constitution. I'm just saying the thought of a socialist running against Donald Trump, I don't even know if they think they can pull that off. You understand what I'm saying? How do they think they're going to make that work? How are they going to make that work?
Yeah, I don't know that. See, I think we've gone past the point of logic and point to past of norms. It's the norms part that's killing them. All politicians in D.C. and the government workers, they have established a set of norms that really don't necessarily follow law. Norms are not laws. Traditions are not laws. Hey, we've always released our tax returns. I don't see a law. I don't see that being a requirement. Yeah, but that's how we do things around here is exactly why I would get in trouble in the military every time I went to a new unit. Because I would ask them, why do we do this? Whatever this is. Oh, we've always done it this way. Negative. Sorry. Not a good answer. You have to have a reason why you do things. Otherwise, you're just an automaton. We're supposed to reevaluate our country constantly. That's what makes us different from every other nation. We reevaluate the House every 2 years. We reevaluate a third of the Senate every 2 years. We reevaluate our president every 4 years. That's what we do to keep things fresh, to get rid of bad people, supposedly. We'll see about that. This impeachment is going to be the coup de grace on Trump. It's going to go through. I'm going to tell you that right now. There's a crescendo building. Here's how I think people think it's going to go, and then here's how I think it's actually going to go. We are going to have an increase in number of Democrats who are going to try and push impeachment. They're going to get strong-armed into it. That's going to end up hurting a whole lot of Democrats that won in Trump country. That's for 2020, though. That's in the future. Let's go first. They're trying to get rid of the president now. That's what matters. So they're going to get their 218 people. They'll pass the resolutions and the articles of impeachment. and then it'll go to the Senate, where they are going to get lambasted by Hollywood and leftists everywhere about how they got to do what's right for the country, and this president is such a terrible person, and they're going to lose.
Okay? Thank you.
They're not going to get 67 senators to remove the president.
No way.
So, legally speaking, that conversation ends right there, and it turns Donald, it makes Donald Trump bulletproof, because you're not going to be allowed to bring up the same articles again.
Right, and a sympathetic figure. And a sympathetic figure.
So now, that's what people expect to have happen. That's not what I think is going to happen.
Okay.
A friend of mine kind of let the cat out of the bag while I was having a conversation slash debate on Facebook about it. I think what's going to happen here is what you're seeing a mini version of, where Trump is going to basically lay out Joe Biden for the people to see and leave the people to decide, what do we do with this guy? And should they bring him to the floor for impeachment, the president gets, the president's lawyers get to cross-examine, the president gets to face his accusers, and his lawyers get to ask him questions.
Mm-hmm.
Under oath, before a Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. So it's a real court with real rules and real consequences. So they're going to be dragged up there, and every single accusation that the left has put on this president, he's going to say, huh, so really, here's the facts of the matter of the Ukrainian conversation. I've provided all these documents unclassified for you. And wouldn't you know it, I was looking through our records, and here's all the stuff that Joe Biden did with regard to
mm-hmm.
Ukraine. And he's going to do that with each and every one of them, all the way up to Hillary Clinton. I think he stops there. I don't think he goes after Obama. And every American's going to be with their eyes on C-SPAN and YouTube, watching all these streams on Facebook and Twitter, because it's going to be the most watched thing ever. One half hoping that the president goes down in flames, the other half hoping that the president blows these people away. And I think that's the play that's going for. I think the president wants impeachment. I think he knows it's going to empower him. And it's a scary ordeal, except that he hasn't done anything.
Right. And you know what? Along the line of what you just said, this is what I believe is happening right now with the Ukraine. Don't forget, he already knew he's being spied on when he made that phone call. He already
yeah.
knows about the deep state. He already knows there's leakers. I think he wanted this out. I think he wanted this out because he opened up in that phone call the possibility. What he wanted was to put out there, I need some help to find out about what's going on corrupt in my country. Can you help me on two accords? One accord, what is going on with the DNC, the server, and the hacking of the, or alleged hacking of the DNC? And number two, what is going on with the origin of the FISA warrants and this Russia nothing burger bogus hoax against me? Can you help me get some information, you know, from over there, for, you know, because this guy doesn't like Putin. Zelensky, he doesn't like Putin. Yeah, so he's looking, and I think it doesn't matter whether Ukraine was going to respond at all. He wanted that out there. So if he ever needed a whole card or wanted to play this card gets flipped out. The Democrats fall in the trap again, running all over themselves to put this thing out before they said, wait a minute, you know, we just opened ourselves up. My favorite show of all time is Perry Mason, the black and white Perry Mason. And I always used to love how Hamilton Berger would be trying to protect something, and he didn't want a certain witness or didn't want something in evidence, and Mason would always trick him into opening the door, and Berger would say, well, he can't go there, and the judge will say, well, Mr. Berger, you opened the door. They
right.
opened the door. They opened the door by putting this stuff all over television, by having this stupid hearing. Everything they're doing now, as you said in the first segment, Joe Biden is fair game. We've wanted them to look into Biden and Hillary Clinton for the last 15 years. Nobody would do it. Now it's going to happen.
It's a brilliant move, and no one it's so funny because no one credits him with being smart, and it causes them to underestimate everything he does. He doesn't stumble into good fortune. He's not Maxwell Smart. He doesn't to be in the right at the right time. He is a counter puncher. He's told these people that. What he means is, I let you make the first move, and then I take the move that takes you out. And so if he knows I got to get rid of Joe Biden, all right, and I'm sure that's part of the play, I need to get rid of Joe Biden, because without Joe Biden there, the entire left's Democratic committees and candidates collapse. Who are you going to attack? Who are they going to attack? Without a Joe Biden there, they're going to have anybody. They're going to attack each other about who can out-left each other? Doesn't sound like a good plan. So,
you know, you brought up a very good point I hadn't considered. When Biden gets capped at the knees, then he's about to keel over. Okay, I agree with you there. And as long as there's four or five candidates in, are they now going to turn their arrows on Warren?
They're going to have to.
Maybe they'll take her down.
It could happen. I can tell you that from the liberals I talk to online, the ones that have a clear mind, they like.
You know some that have a clear mind?
I separate the politicians from the people because a lot of Democrats are flocking to Trump.
Well,
so
that's good.
I don't fault Democrat voters. They have a belief system, and they now believe that their party left them, which is correct. And there are those who say that Tulsi Gabbard represents the best of them right now, and they might be right. They might be right. And, you know, she has gravitas, and she has credentials, and served time in our wars, and she has her opinions. She's an officer. Officers tend to be liberal, even in the military, which is why we don't let them lead battles. We let the sergeants lead the battles.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. So we are getting ready. This time between you and I flies. We're getting ready to hit the top of the hour, Gary. So you have any last-minute things you want to say, plug any of your sites? Now's the time to do it, bud.
Okay. Well, the last thing I wanted to say, I just wanted to just throw out a shout-out to Adam Schiff for making a fool of himself again. Here's the guy that got caught trying to, you know, to get some information on a political candidate. And by the way, you're right. Biden is not a political opponent of Trump yet. But here's an also guy that still, even after the Mueller report, has said that he has the proof of Russia collusion. Where is it? Why haven't we seen it? Why haven't you turned it out? You want to get rid of Trump so badly. If you have it, turn it out. Let's do it. He doesn't have it. These people have to pay a price for this. Hey, it's been fun, Wolfman. Nation Savers 2018 on Facebook. That's what I do. I post about the type of things we're talking about several times a day, if you're in the sound of my voice, on Facebook, Nation Savers 2018. If you like what you see, click like and follow, and you'll get the daily posts. And one thing I will say, the left will not win because we won't let it. Socialist America, not on our watch. No way, no shape, no how.
All right, that's Gary Binford. Also, if you want to check out what I got posting on my page, it is By the People, found on Facebook. There are lots of versions of By the People, but mine has Abraham Lincoln wearing aviator glasses and a MAGA hat, and you'll know you found the right place. And I'm known as BTP there. I'm the Wolfman here. And looks like, Gary, we're getting ready to sign out for the
Okay, and Rocky, God bless. We love you and hope to see you and hear from you soon.
Yep, she should be back next week. This is the Wolfman signing out, Patriots. Thank you very much. Have a great week, America.
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall.
Build the wall! Build the wall! I come from a land that's down low to the USA from Mexico.
Ignoring all your laws.
wall just got 10 feet taller. Hombres here, and we're gonna get them out.
No taxes from our jobs. The money we're accruing. Instead of ATMs, we send it home with Western Union.
I would build a great wall, and nobody builds walls better than me, believe me.